Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. Well, this book that I'm offering this week will be one of the most delightful reads you've ever had, one of the most fascinating reads you've ever had. It shows God clearly in wanting to spare America. It shows God clearly in his heart for Jewish people and the fight, literally, between evil and good to get Jewish people that were dying, literally. If a few days had been waited, these Jewish people that were in Germany in the concentration camps would have died. But I have the author of the book, the daughter of Private Galeon, Mary Nahas, on the telephone. And Mary, the miracles that happened by your father's obedience for saving the Jewish prisoners in concentration camps, and what he did then triggered the search, which would have never occurred by the United States, that saved so many Jewish people that were going to die. But the blessings on your father's life and then on your life, and I think it's so amazing that on the anniversary of your father finding the Dora concentration camp, babies are born. Tell me about that.
Yes, 7 babies of my father's offspring were born on the liberation date of the camps that were found as a result of him finding Dora. My sister was born on April 15. Her baby was born on April 15. They were the liberation dates of both Nordhausen and Dora. My son was born between the liberation of Dora and Nordhausen and Buchenwald. And then my nephew was born on Holocaust Remembrance Day. And just recently, the baby who was born of the baby who was born dead, her baby's due date was...
Well, the baby that was born dead that came back to life, I might add, but go ahead.
Right. And then her daughter's daughter, the due date of that child, of her birth, was April 11th, the day my father broke into the camp.
Isn't that amazing? It's sort of God saying, see, I remember. I see why Jewish people are telling the story of your dad at Passover. Now, briefly tell us that story, just... put it all together for us.
On April 5th, as the 4th was turning to the 5th, 1945, my father smelled an odor that gave him a gut feeling to follow the train, but he couldn't get the sergeant to give him permission to go and scout. He tried to put it out of his mind, but by the end of the day, the feeling to follow the trains was so strong that he left anyway without permission. He had intended on just scouting while everyone was sleeping in his troop and then being back by morning roll call. But something happened when he was about to turn around and abort the mission, about 3 hours into the walk. He said a strong force pushed him, and he turned around to see who pushed him, and nobody was there. And then the force grabbed him at the elbows to turn him around and keep him from going back. And at the same time, it simultaneously strengthened him. He had a wound on his leg and had already been walking 175 miles of continuous battle. He really wanted to go back and abort the mission. But it strengthened him and enabled him to keep following the trains. And at the end of the tracks was Middle Baldura concentration camp and the secret factory of the world's first ballistic missile. And he was shot at by a German guard when he got there. His legs were so tired that they gave out when he was climbing up on a train car to try and figure out who these dead people were. They were naked. He was trying to find a patch or a uniform or anything that would identify who they were. The German guard came running after him shooting. But my father said there must have been an angelic field or protection around him because the bullets were whizzing and whistling by his ears, but none of them hit him. And as a result, he was able to find the front gate of the camp and see that there were prisoners in need of rescue. So he left and went searching for help and found 2 soldiers broke down on the road, which was another miracle. And those soldiers brought him to their commander, and when the commander That commander and another commander heard what my dad had found, secret tunnel, dead bodies. They wanted to come themselves, and they all broke into the camp on April 11th before the sunrise, 1945. And as a result, my father returned to his sergeant, and the sergeant ordered him to radio the 3rd Armored Division. Another miracle that happened is when he radioed the 3rd Armored, they got lost. Dora was so hidden they couldn't find it, and they ended up at the second camp, which was the death camp of Dora, called Nordhausen. The real name of that camp was Boelka Kaserne, but people today call it Nordhausen, and that's where they had dumped the people that were too weak to make the missile, leaving them there to languish and die. So you could see where God was trying to save the weakest first through this miracle of the troops getting lost. And then as a result of the camp being found, see, the prisoners of these camps were pulled from Buchenwald and other camps. So it caused the immediate discovery of Buchenwald that same day, April 11th. And after that, when the Pentagon saw that the Nazis were making missiles in a concentration camp, it caused the American confiscation of the missiles, and it caused a search for remaining camps. As a result, the remnant of the Jewish people and non-Jews were saved, and also it caused the sharing of power between Russia and the United States, which the Department of Defense says caused a unique situation called mutual assured destruction.
Yeah, well, had your father not found the camp when he did, then Russia would have found it and had it as on an exclusive basis, all the ballistic missiles.
Yeah. Dora was sitting, the missiles were sitting in the Russian zone of occupation. All that was to become Russia's property. Stalin knew about the camp because of some Russian prisoners who had escaped, and he couldn't wait to get in there. But when he arrived, everything was gone. The Americans had gotten everything. The German scientists who created the missiles, the prisoners were being liberated in several camps, and the missiles and German scientists, the top ones, Wernher von Braun, Arthur Rudolph, they were all gone.
Tell me about the moment your father died. You were there. What did he see?
Actually, it was my sister who was there, and when she told me what he said, I immediately thought of the fact that he came home from accomplishing all this, undecorated, but God himself must have given him a party in heaven. Because as he was going into the coma that took his life, he said, he smiled, and he had been suffering and was not smiling. And my sister said, what are you smiling about? What do you see? You're looking up in the air. What do you see? He said, I see Jesus. I said, oh, come on, Dad. You see Jesus. What do you mean? He said, yes. He said, yes, I see him. And he went into a coma, and several hours later, he passed away.
You know, I'm reminded of a little 15-year-old girl that had never been told about, because your father was sworn to secrecy, had never been told about his war experiences. And you, two prophets, start prophesying over you words that you don't even understand. Would you repeat that prophecy again?
Yes, these prophets called me up to the front of a church, and it wasn't our regular church. It was just a building they were using to give their message. And I went to the front of the church. I was only 15, and one of the prophets said, was your father in the war? And I said, yes, and I'm thinking to myself, what does this have to do with church? And his friend, his partner, another prophet, came up to him and said, who is she? And he said, her father was the liberator of the German camps, but he hasn't told anyone. And his partner said to him, but I thought there was not one liberator. I thought the different camps had different liberators as the different troops, you know, advanced across Germany and found these camps. And he said, no, there was a journey behind it all. Her father took the journey. He walked many miles and saved many people. And his partner said, well, what does she have to do with her father's story? What's her mission? And he said, oh, someday her father's going to tell her the story, and she's going to write it. And it's going to mean a lot to the nations of the Holocaust.
Your father kept this secret within him for 50 years. When he finally started telling you his secret, what emotions came out of him?
I never saw such agony in one human being as much as I saw in my father the day he told me the story. I think because he was a soldier, God had put the feeling in to save the prisoners on the 5th of April, not the 11th when he actually got there. But because he couldn't get permission to go, he always felt guilt over the ones that could have been saved and weren't. And the agony that came out of him was horrifying. I grabbed his hand. We cried together. And I had to encourage him. And I said, Dad, you did nothing wrong. God told you to follow the trains, and you obeyed. And look at what it caused. Look at how many people are saved. You couldn't have stayed behind and waited for the sergeant to give you permission. He wasn't going to do that. The troops were...
Mary, we're out of time. We want this book in the hands of everyone that knows a soldier, that is a spouse of a soldier, and give it to a soldier. The title of the book, The Journey of Private Galleon, or How America Became a Superpower, available for a donation of $20, Shabbat broadcast. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you his shalom in the name of the Tsar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzikenu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.
Yivarech Echa Adonai veYishmarecha. Yo'er Adonai panav Elecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav Elecha veAsem Lecha Shalom.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpacha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape, or CD, of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.